love coming to First Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi, and to see so many familiar faces. It was lovely just a minute ago, hardly getting through the door here in Miller Hall, which I love what you've done with the place, by the way. Looks great since I was here. And to share a few moments of hugs around the neck and a few remembrances with a number of you. Wish I had, just days to be here and catch up on lost time. But it's an incredible privilege and treasure to be able to be back, to be here, and to help kick off this night in the parent forum. I know that there's a whole variety of ages and stages recognized here tonight, and you've had, some of you are teenage parents now. When I left, you had little kids, and then some of you had no kids whatsoever, and now you're telling me they're like in elementary school and doing all kinds of amazing things. That's remarkable, and we hope over the course of this night together to sort of get our bearings again in parenting. We have to do that over and over again, don't we? To remember what it is that the Lord has called us to do in this important work of parenting. And I'm just glad to be along for the ride because I'm actually, as I'm speaking to you, I'm trying to listen to what I'm going to say at the same time. One thing I've noticed about First Pres specifically is that when it calls me to speak on something, it always calls me to speak on something that I know nothing about whatsoever and am very much in the midst of process of learning everything I'm going to share with you tonight. I don't come as an expert. I understand you've had experts before in who know things, and now you have someone who's learning things coming to talk to you about the things that he's trying to learn. I think my only credential in being here tonight is the fact that I have five children of my own. 19, 17, 14, 10, and 2. Yeah. So that 2 was a bit of a surprise, if you know what I mean. And we are so excited for little Lila Mae. I wish you could meet all of our children, those of you I haven't gotten a chance to get to know. And so this was a wonderful exercise in God's humor to be able to call me here to speak on this, and also a wonderful exercise in humility to be able to learn what it means to actually be a parent and by God's grace do it faithfully. We're going to need the Lord's help as we begin tonight, so why don't we pray and ask for him to come and meet with us. Father, we would ask by the power of your Spirit tonight that you would pour out grace upon grace upon grace in this room. Some of us come in here, despite our smiling faces, pretty beaten down in the work of parenting. We need a lot of help, and we feel that keenly. And so, Lord, as we come to this place, would you show us that we're not alone, that you have a plan, that you provide all that we need in Christ, our Savior and our Lord, that you will never leave us nor forsake us in this journey, that the Spirit attends closely, and that one of the most important things that you have called us to in life is to raise children. It was your idea, and you want to accomplish much in us through it, and you want to accomplish much through us in the lives of our children. Lord, be mindful of our children as we're here without them tonight. Be mindful of their little hearts, even right now, of the future days that they will experience in the households represented in this room. And would tonight, Lord, be a place where you do a mighty work in the lives of our hearts, that the fruit of we will see in the lives of our children, even in days that some of us won't get a chance to see, we'll already be in glory. But that the legacy of that faith would extend to a generation even yet unborn. You are a God who loves to work through families. We ask tonight, please come and meet with us and work in our families. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a question. I want you to think back to the very first time you laid eyes on your first child. I want you to go there. Can you go there in your mind with me? Your very first child. Maybe you were in a hospital room and a nurse or a doctor handed you that child, and for the very first time, that new life was placed within your hands. Maybe you were at home and it was a midwife who did that. Maybe it was an adoption and it's a gotcha day that you remember. Maybe in a faraway country where you saw him and her and you'd seen them in pictures for so long. Now you're signing papers and for the very first time, they're yours. You remember what that moment felt like? Do you remember that shift that happened inside of you? That overwhelming rush of joy at the sight of that child and the overwhelming sense of fear simultaneously. Many parents describe that moment unlike any other moment in life. That you can feel something almost transforming within you. That the person you were as you walked into that hospital room or walked into that orphanage or as you walked out of that courtroom after signing those papers, you realize you'll never be the same person again. There's something in the Old Testament that sort of rings true of that moment, and it's the word glory, the Hebrew word kavod. It's a word that's used of God over and over, that he is glorious, that he is full of weight and substance and gravity. You'll notice that over and over in the Old Testament, when you're in the presence of the Lord, that those who are there fall on their faces and shudder and are overwhelmed at his presence. But that in creation, God actually puts forth glimpses of glory in his own character, whether it's seeing an astonishing sunset, or the vastness of the ocean for the first time, or standing next to those great redwood trees in California, or whatever it would be. These moments of flashes of glory that come through creation are there, I think, in that first moment when we lay our eyes on that child. And they are immediately, we are immediately wrapped around their finger. We realize that now our lives is inextricably tied with their life. And as one counselor put it, we know that we'll only ever now be as happy as they are. And the moment that they crater into sadness, we do too. We can't imagine in that moment, though, how the next quarter century of our life as we raise them, what it will be like. But we have a sense that the level of sacrifice that we have known up to that moment pales in comparison to what we will know in the days to come. As he or she takes her first bites of food and then takes their first steps and then later is baking their first batch of cookies, memorizing those pesky multiplication tables, learning to ride a bicycle and then learning to drive a car. The first time he asks her out or he shows up at the door. To the day that you walk her down the aisle, to the day that you give him away, it's the most heart-exhilarating, heartbreaking journey. You are a parent. That's what you are. And you are called to raise a child. And believe it or not, the Lord believes that you're the person for it. No, it probably doesn't feel that way. In fact, it probably feels like you are in way over your head, that you're in a job way above your pay grade. But it wasn't a mistake. I want you to know that. God is sovereign. Everything happens according to his will and purpose. And he has called you to be a parent, to raise them up. Now, I want you to take just a deep breath as you think back and go down memory lane and you think about this role of a parent. Because, right, it becomes embarrassingly clear really quick that you have no idea what you're doing. Like from the moment that you try to change the diaper for the very first time, it's clear that may actually be your high water mark in parenting, that first changing of diaper. And you feel that with every stage that your children grow. It's just as soon as you begin to figure something out, they change. And now they need something different from you. As I think about our five from 19 years of age, right? One that's starting as a freshman in college and still changing diapers. It feels like we, you know, just cue the circus music. I mean, this is what life feels like. And we feel outgunned. We feel outmatched. And we need help. And we ask ourselves, who is fit for this calling? I want you to ponder that question for just a second. Who is fit for this calling? And the one answer is, well, you are. God would not have put you in the role in which you're in if he doesn't plan to equip you to that which he has called you. You are called to raise this child, and he will give you what it is that you need. But at another level, you are not equipped to raise this child. You need him. You need him over and over and over and over and over again. And before you ever raise this child, you're going to see that the Lord is raising you. He's growing you up. That he has far more in store than you just raising this child. But that he's raising you up. And that the whole of this experience of parenting has to do with learning about the sufficiency of his grace. One of the things I think keeps us from, well, experiencing the joy, the intention and purpose of parenting that God has in mind is that we sometimes lose, don't we, along the way, the fundamental purpose for parenting. Why is it that God chose to do this? Have you ever wondered why he's chosen to do it this way? I mean, about the time that you finally raise your children and you send them off to college and then they boomerang back and then they're finally out eventually at some point off the payroll. Once that happens, you're a grandparent, right? Kids are back in your house and they're back in your life and they still want your money and all of the things. Now, and God has designed it that way. What is his purpose in all of this? This weightiness that's there. Well, part of it gets back to that glory we were talking about. Even as Moses noted with the people of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that this call of parenting is a call that goes on throughout life in every sphere, and that discipleship and making disciples starts in the home place. It's the place where the glory is actually revealed, where the sober weight of the glory of God has intended is meant to be played out. And our lack and our sense of insufficiency and ill-equippedness and overwhelmness is actually a clue. It's a clue that we need to be making quick repair in running to him early and often. From the very first moment we hear the cry of that baby till the moment that we close our eyes and we commission our grandchildren with our final words. Whatever those moments are in our lives, the Lord has it for a purpose. And one of the big purposes is to keep you dependent on him. What I want you to actually experience in some sense tonight is a reset for parenting. And part of the way I want to just do that is to build two categories in your mind real quick, because I think when we lose sight of what the purpose of parenting is, by all of the worldly expectations that get put in, mixed in with what God has called us to, all the things and dreams that the culture tells us we should have for our children and all of the personal things we think are really important for them, all of that gets cluttered sometimes around what we call the call that God would place on our lives. I want you to see there's actually two different views that most of us are walking around with in parenting, and we kind of bing back and forth between them. And I want to kind of press a hard reset tonight as we begin 2023. It's the beginning of a new year. What would it look like to actually keep our eyes focused on what God has in store for you as a parent this year and in the years to come? The first view of parenting, which I think we fall into, I know I fall into often, Paul David Tripp referred to in one of his books as ownership parenting. ownership parenting. Ownership parenting says that my children belong to me, and it's my right and responsibility to get for my children what it is that I want for them and to produce within them what I want to produce within them. We feel this weight of, these are my children and I am responsible to raise them. I want them to look like this. I want them to be like this. I have these dreams for them that I want them to ultimately fulfill. And though as we move through parenting, we realize that very often they turn out right very different than we conceived. The dreams that we had for them wind up being very different than the actual child that God gave us. And what we realize is that very often we've been working according to our own ownership of our children rather than recognizing that our children are actually, well, they're His. That what He has called us to is not an ownership view of children, but a word I'd like you to get to know tonight is an ambassador view of children. That you are God's ambassador to your children. That's what you are. You have been placed in their life to represent His love, His character, His discipline, His mission, His kingdom. To make visible the invisible God in some sense. Through the way that you love them, through the way that you relate to them, through the way that you disciple them. An ambassador view of children says that they belong to the Lord. And that I'm to be looking to Him for what it is that He wants to accomplish. And He is charged with the power to be able to change them, to conform them, to make them represent His love and His character and His faithfulness. If we're going to carry out the calling of being not ownership parents, but ambassador parents, we're going to have to literally raise our children up. I don't know what you hear when you hear that phrase, raise the children up, but I think we tend to think, don't we, like, hey, get an education, learn some responsibility, eventually become a contributing member of society, right? And I'm really good with all of that. I'm becoming increasingly encouraging along those lines in my household. That's very important. But notice how exclusively horizontal that feels. Notice how we're looking just sometimes at worldly, earthly benchmarks. Notice that very often we're not actually raising our children up. We're not actually looking to the Lord. We're not just training them to be morally upstanding good citizens. We actually want them to be shaped after the likeness of the one who made them. We want them to be conformed into His likeness. I think to lose sight of this is to often lose sight of parenting and why parenting sometimes feels totally overwhelming. Like, we're the ones and it's up to us. Which a comment, a statement like that actually shows us that we've forgotten who's actually in charge. We've forgotten the nature of our dependence and our call, which is to raise them up, to point them up to the one who is actually their only true, faithful, and sufficient parent, the one who's only fit to raise our children. A few ways in which I think that this expresses itself. If you're wondering, am I one who tends to view my children in an ownership way rather than an ambassador way? The question you want to ask is, do I look to my children to actually find a sense of how I'm doing in life? Because owner parents tend to think of their children as kind of their reputation being sent out into the world. That is, they prop up their children as a means by which to feel good that they've done the right thing and that they have been sufficient in all the ways that parents should be sufficient. In a very real sense, identity is of the parent is being channeled in some sense through the child. Our children often feel that, don't they? I remember recently at a baseball tryout with one of my sons, and I saw the coach just jump on one of the kids. You know, just one of those really ugly kind of moments. And I thought to myself, I think he's taking this too seriously. I think he may be channeling his identity through his child who plays baseball, right? And I kind of, in my mind, had a little condescension about that, little condemnation about that, going, the guy could really mature and grow up a little bit. And then a few nights later, I remember that my daughter was getting ready to speak at this little event for our women's ministry at our church. And I found myself sitting there thinking, I hope she doesn't embarrass me tonight. You know, I hope what she shares doesn't just, you know, totally undo my ability to be maintained as the pastor of this congregation, right? And I begin to all of a sudden realize that I was, in a sense, channeling my own sense of being and security right there in how my kids are doing. Do we take our kids' failures very personally? Do we garner a lot of pride from their successes? If our answer to those questions is yes, then we're probably acting a little bit like owner parents. Whereas ambassador parents feel a lot freer. They feel freer because they know that their child is God's and only He can do the work that needs to be done. They know that they've been made in His image and that we are His servants, completely desperate and dependent upon Him to be able to bring forth what needs to change in their life. We begin to become self-forgetful as we focus upon our children, and we begin to become gospel-remembering. That is, we remember that apart from the grace of God, apart from the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to actually remove from us, by virtue of His death and His resurrection, sin and the record of sin, to give us the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, which is His strength and His power, that apart from Him using us as a mighty instrument in His hands, the Scripture tells us we can do nothing, that we are utterly dependent upon Him. We begin to see that we have to trust Him, and our identity has to be found in Him, not in how good we are as parents or how our kids turn out. This really changes, doesn't it, the job of what it means to be a parent. If you ever feel that it is your job as a parent to turn your kids into something, like for them to become a particular dream that you have dreamed, and that when they are not seemingly becoming that dream that you have dreamed, you get really angry, you get really discouraged, you get really upset. It could be a certain musical prowess, it could be a certain intellectual ability, it could be a certain likableness or sociableness. It could be all these things, and you realize that, well, they're not becoming what it is I would hope them to be. And you begin to really be humbled by the fact that you can't turn your children into what it is you want them to be on your own. You see, part of what the Lord is actually doing there is telling you, first, listen, your identity must be in Christ alone. And as you parent your children, you've got to be careful to be raising them up to Him. As you work and labor, trust Him to do the work. Now, this is why success in parenting is not merely that they're a good kid, right? That what you've had in mind for them has come about, but that you're actually beginning to see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ show up in them. What would that look like? What would be love for Jesus? Right? Even more than particular qualities or characteristics or gifts you want them to have or social groups you'd like them to be in, that their love for Jesus is pronounced, that their faith in Jesus is growing, meaning not that their perfection in life is only ever upward, but that when they fail, you see them like learning to repent, learning to own and confess their sins, asking for forgiveness, both receiving it and giving it to others. Learning to live life dependently on Christ, repairing quickly to Him over and over. Finding that when He commands them to do something, they don't always kick against it. But they're slowly but surely making His commands their choice. What would it look like to actually train in those directions for that to be the fruit that we look for in our children and to call that success? Sometimes success comes, doesn't it, on the heels of a failure. Very often is when we see our children fall and they have to learn to walk through the challenge of the humble pie and confess the sin and return to Jesus and try again by his grace, endeavoring him to empower them to take that step of faith and obedience. Don't they often learn the most right there rather than in the moments they've been most successful? We could raise highly successful children and have truly missed the boat of what parenting is all about. Children that are self-sufficient, children that can do all things on their own, that have an ego instead of a humble disposition, who are always looking out for number one rather than looking for the opportunity to serve others. This is what an ambassador parent looks for. He or she looking for ways in which Christ is being manifested, where even if they decide, well, to not take that typical course to this school and get that degree and make that dollar figure and come back to this community or that community and do everything the way that we hoped and dreamed they would do, that maybe they actually, well, I don't know, go to the mission field. Do something that will cause us grief and difficulty. That we're actually willing to freely give up our children because why? We've been giving them up to the Lord their whole life. We've learned that it's never been the opportunity of raising our children is to hold on to them so that they will fulfill our dreams for them. But they've been God's children all along, and it's been our responsibility to raise them, to give them away to him, so that they can answer God's call on their life and to prepare them freely so that that decision is actually fruitful, beautiful, and welcomed in our lives as parents. That's really what we want to see when we're raising up our children to the Lord, isn't it? We want it to be more than just checking the boxes of what society would call is mature. We want to actually look to the pages of Scripture. We want to look to those Deuteronomy 6 texts where we're told that when we lie down, when we rise up, when we walk along the way, we're telling to them the story of redemption. We're pointing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're letting them know that, you know, you don't have it all together, and that's part of the key to the universe. Understanding the story that God is actually telling. That you aren't smart enough, and you aren't good enough, and doggone it, not everybody's going to like you. That's just the way it is. And you run to the Lord in those things. And you let him give shape to their character and their life. Learning to see that as our actual calling as parents, the chief calling that the Lord has given to us, begins to make sense of everything else. It means that failures are opportunities. It means that successes are evidences for celebration, that God's at work. That as we're walking through life, we're not just simply affirming and rejoicing in them, but we're pointing to God with thanksgiving and they're hearing us do it. That we're showing over and over our own quickness to return to the Lord so that they don't just hear it from us, they begin to catch it from us. Do you see, that's the kind of reset in parenting we need, isn't it? Because, well, you probably have a shelf full of parenting books, right? You have those blogs, you have those podcasts that you're turning to on a regular basis so that you can make it through the preteen and teen years. Have you paused to pray? Have you turned to the Word? Have you confessed your sin? Have your children actually seen you learn to walk humbly with the Lord? Or do they just kind of think that, well, dad, mom just kind of have it figured out, and they're doing it on their own, and I guess that's what I need to do? Is, in other words, your house a place where the aroma of grace is welcome? And it's coming through the Spirit of you as a parent leading it, letting them know that there is a Father that they can trust in. You know, earthly fathers and earthly mothers are going to fail them, aren't we? There are going to be times where you're going to lose it. You're like, yeah, this afternoon, right? There are going to be times where you're going to, like, lose it. There are going to be times where you will fall short. Are they seeing you confess that? Are you opening up the Word of God with them on a regular basis so that they can know the content of Scriptures? They can see you digging in deep to the Word. Do they know you go places for counsel? You're not able to do all this on your own. You need the body of Christ. You need the people to the left and right of you, even right now, to help you and to pray with and for you in the Word. Very often, we're sometimes not humble enough to let our kids in a little bit on that journey. But the fact of the matter is, when we let them in a little bit on that journey, they're actually getting a taste of what it means to be raised up. Because you see, this parenting thing never really ends. Do you know what all of us are in this room right now? Children of the living God. That's what we are. We are utterly dependent upon the Lord. Not only did He pay for the penalty of our sin and give us the righteousness of Christ, literally charging it to our account. Not only did He do that, He said He's going to be with us every step of the way, with every step that we take, to ensure that we actually, as we press on towards that finish line, get there and cross the tape. He's ensuring that that's going to be the case. And you know what that means? If Jesus is the author of our faith, and He is the perfecter of our faith, He's at the beginning of the journey that we're on in parenting. He's at the end of the journey that we're on in parenting in the whole of the Christian life. You know what that means? Well, it means, first of all, it means He's with you right in the middle of the race. If He's at the beginning and He's at the end, He's also in the middle of it with you. You're not alone, but are you talking to Him? Are you listening to Him? And you know what it also means if He's at the beginning of the race and at the end of the race? Not just that He's with you, but that He's already finished it. Now, we are those here in this room who believe, many of us, that God is in control of everything, right? That our children's future is already known and decreed by our God. And He is a loving and good God, and we can trust Him in that. The path that we're on is a pathway of discovery in training toward what we know He's called us to and them to. We can entrust Him with this process. And actually, in a very real sense, press that reset each morning. Because you know what? This stuff leaks out of us, doesn't it? It'll happen when you take that, you know, ACT. And you'll say, we will figure out if we have made the right educational decisions for the future of our child. Every one of those moments when all of that comes rushing in, and we're actually, it's like our resume of parenting coming in. In those moments, just know that those earthly metrics that we lean on so much and think are so important, in the end of time and in eternity, we will find are not the things. That it will often be the failure in that ACT that will be what the Lord uses to most shape them for the things that He's called them to in life. The places where they needed Him most will be where we'll see Him do the greatest work. Test it in your own life. When have you grown the most in the Lord? When times are great and everything's going your way? Or when the wheels come off? And you know your neediness, and you make quick repair to the Lord for Him to do the work that only He can do. What would it look like to walk through the door of your home tonight and see your children, having revisited that first image of what it was like that moment when you held them so close, and you remembered how much you loved them instantly and how overwhelmingly afraid you were as you tried to put them in the car seat to drive home from the hospital, and you just like stood by their bed all night long thinking they wouldn't wake up the next morning. Right? You remember all that? To walk through the door now and to realize, listen, the responsibility that the Lord has given to me is to not determine and dictate the outcome for my children in the way that I have dreamed it, but to be faithful to the things He's called me to trust Him for grace every step of the way, and to represent as an ambassador His love, His character, His discipline, His care, His hope, to our children day in and day out. Find that you are the pointer to the Heavenly Father rather than the sufficient caretaker of everything that your children need. And you'll find that parenting, well, it'll feel a lot freer. There'll be a lot more joy. You might even have a little fun along the way as you discover God's faithfulness in raising up your children that are His children and that He's using you in. And by the way, raising you up every step of the way. Let's pray to that end right now. Father in heaven, we would ask, would you tonight begin to loosen the grip of parents here in this room who have had such a stranglehold, as it were, on this ownership view of parenting. We fret over everything, from clothes to school decisions to sports teams to music rehearsals. We want to make sure that they are going to turn out exactly how we have dreamed them to. And we, in some sense, Lord, have made a little idol of ourselves and maybe of them. And now we need to learn to release them to you because they're yours already. And to begin, as we walk by the way, as Moses says in Deuteronomy 6, train them up and talk about you. To give them a voice to be able to rejoice when they find their heart moving towards obedience and good things. And learning to give and receive forgiveness, and putting forth effort in growth, and also giving them an opportunity to confess when they've fallen short. Lord, would you help us to realize we're your ambassadors to our children, and that the goal here is to really raise high the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts and their lives. Lord, for parents in this room who feel totally inadequate to even know how to begin in that, would you give them the freedom to ask for help? It may be to someone right to the left and right of them. It might be someone in their church, even this church. Lord, let them tonight begin to start a new path, one not of anxiety and of worry and fear, but one of freedom and joy and holy diligence as we seek to answer your call on the lives of our children. Raise us up, O Lord, as we by grace raise them up. We ask this in Jesus' name.